And I welcome you once again into an experiment in ending careers. Maybe.
Mine sort of started out slow and has been tapering off for quite some time.
Okay. All right. I could make a comment, but nothing's coming to my head, and it's probably just as well.
Don't go for the cheap, easy ones, Jeremy.
Know, really, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah,
because you give me so many opportunities that I just have to be selective.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yeah, choose
really do.
Your moment.
There you go. My name is Jeremy Lawrence. In case you don't know who in the world that guy is, his name, you know who he is. He's Roger.
Yeah,
and he's been here for a while and. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Is that an old joke there?
Take it however you will.
Okay.
Take it however you will.
1995.
95.
Yeah.
Okay.
Been here since then.
Okay. Like surprisingly, I've been here since the early 70s, but... on Earth.
Okay, oh.
Never mind. Never mind.
If we're looking at that, I got you by a long shot.
I'm sure. Well... Enough about our age. We are going to be talking about some great stuff today. A little later on in the show, we've got, they've been talking about these, the phone lines and all of that, that issue that's come before the legislature. We're going to be having a little discussion about that, Roger.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They have an interview. You told me about this.
Oh, yeah. The sheriff
yes.
has thoughts.
He has
and
thoughts.
And because his responsibilities are to offer peacekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
In the outermost parts of our urban area, he's concerned about lack of phone lines. Not only he's going to speak about Kalamazoo County, but officers across the state have concerns over people being able to get a hold of 911.
Okay. So we'll be hearing from him a little later on in the show. One other thing, we're going to be discussing some of the numbers are in for the first couple of months of Obamacare in the state of Michigan. We'll talk about some results on that, what mm-hmm. that looks like, and have that as-promised discussion about Obamacare, one of many, I'm sure, that we will be having over the next several months together. But before we get to all of that goodness.
Yes.
There is a bill that has actually been put before the Michigan Senate.
Mm-hmm.
It was just filed based on the Senate website, was just filed yesterday, introduced by Senator Mark Jansen. This is being called the Religious Freedom Bill. And the Religious Freedom Bill, what they're saying is it would prohibit discrimination against students of public schools and universities who express religious viewpoints and would permit schools to establish limited public forums at school events where students could pray. Now, basically what they're saying is prayers at high school graduations, football games, etc., that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some other points to it as well. Couple of the points that are interesting here. Prevent students from participating in religious activities on campus before or after class. Schools would not be able to limit access to facilities to religious organizations if facilities are made available to the general public. Also, students would be guaranteed the right to wear clothing or jewelry with religious messages if similar items with non-religious messages are permitted under school policy. Basically, if you can wear whatever as far as that goes, if it's a uniform policy, that's one thing. I think they're trying to say that, but... at the same time, if you're allowed to wear certain things, then they're saying religious items should be a part of that that mix as well. And so I wanted to spend a little time talking about this. This is relatively new in the Senate, but it is going to be getting some attention in the coming days. So I figured let's hash this out. Roger.
Well, I guess I have no problem with that. I think wearing a cross or I don't know what a Muslim would wear mm-hmm. to for their religious convictions,
that
should be covered
on,
under freedom of speech.
Well, and that depends on what what branch of Muslim they are, I think,
and
how serious they are about that.
Yeah.
I worked with a previous job. I worked with someone who was Muslim, and she was, you wouldn't know it by looking at her. I mean, she was just your average person who just happened to be Muslim. So, mm-hmm. But, you know, for some, they wear the head covering and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So it depends on which. But
I can see if schools have standards for everybody wears the same thing.
Sure.
That there ought be no exceptions to that mm-hmm. rule for any mm-hmm. reason. No, as long as we're comfortable with having pagan rituals in our schools, if that's what some students want, mm-hmm. It has to be open to all religions and faiths. But no, I guess I have no problem with the government not interfering with expressing your religious preference, mm-hmm. no matter mm-hmm. what it is. As long as this isn't code for discriminating against religions that some people don't like, mm-hmm. as long as we treat all religions on a level playing field mm-hmm. and allow all religious demonstrations public, I got no problem with it.
Well, and I think the thing that's bothered me over the years that I've seen certain things that have come out where Christian students wouldn't be allowed to gather for this reason because that would violate the Establishment Clause, which I think, okay. And in this one particular thing, and I'd have to have the story in front of me, but there was a story involved where a school was being sued because of a club that happened before school, and there was a teacher that decided to be in the club, not lead it, but just be there, basically, to kind of show their personal support. They were being sued, saying that that was a violation of the Establishment Clause, which – and that bothered me a little bit because I'm thinking, you know what? If you've got your religion, if you believe a certain thing, it, as long as it's open to have clubs that are about fishing or being a Muslim or being whatever, there should be openings for all religions there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just as long as you're not setting the school on fire. And I think that's another thing entirely as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But no, I think that separation of church and state doesn't preclude you being mm-hmm. proud mm-hmm. of your choice and wanting to wear something that signifies
sure.
Your faith.
So if you're wearing like a necklace with a cross on it or maybe a T-shirt or something or,
yeah,
you know, I haven't seen too many I Love Muhammad T-shirts, but, you know, I'm sure they're out there.
Yeah.
But now let me expand this a little bit because this is something that I've thought about over the years. The idea that, you know, and a lot of schools, they can't teach what's a part of certain religions because that tends to be banned. I tend to think there should be kind of an open discussion of everything that's out there, kind of a critical thinking exercise. You follow me on that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. But you get states as large as Texas mm-hmm. saying they don't want critical thinking skills taught to children because that makes them disobey their parents and not take direction from parents. Mm. And when you see a whole state at the Board of Education level trying to ban teaching critical thinking skills,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have a problem with that, not
sure,
the teaching
sure.
of critical thinking.
Well, and let's face it, you know, from that standpoint, if you're trying to say that, you know, that they're going to speak out against parents, that sort of thing, they're going to become, you know, wild animals, basically. It's really, that's up to the individual parent. If you raise your kid well enough, they're not going to defy you, even though at school they're teaching you to think about things before you just accept as fact what somebody said.
Yeah. And I think that's a critical part of a democracy having a future. Mm-hmm. You need to have critical thinking skills when you choose who you're going to vote for mm-hmm. when you go into the voting booth. And you have to be able to extrapolate where this person is going to go once they're in office. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And
I'll tell you this. I think, you know, if we're going to get on the subject of elections and that kind of thing, I think critical thinking has probably gone out the window for the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 presidential elections, really. If you look at it from the standpoint, because how many people voted for Obama because, oh, he's cool. Or, you know what, I like him. I like what he looks like. Versus, you know what, I agree with what he stands for. I agree with his programs. I agree with what he wants to, where he wants to go with this country. And I think the same could be said for people that voted for George W. Bush. I think the same could be said for people that voted for Bill Clinton.
I don't think anybody voted for George Bush because he was cool. But
Not necessarily.
He's sort of the antithesis of cool, but...
It was kind of awkward, but charmingly so, I think. But
oh, he would have been a great guy to sit and have a beer with.
Oh, yeah.
And talk politics and mm-hmm, argue mm-hmm. politics. I think that there isn't enough critical thinking mm-hmm. going on in this country.
Sure.
And I think we are too dependent on people telling us how to think instead mm-hmm. of it arriving at our position based on our thought, the individual's thought process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I want to open this up. Let's open up the phone lines, if we will. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. And here's, as we were looking at this Senate bill that's being considered, they're calling it the Religious Freedom Bill. I don't know if they've come up with a specific name for it. It's Senate Bill 0716. That's the official legalese name for it. But it's Religious Freedom Bill is what they're discussing this as. Basically, it's a thing that says, all right, prayer at graduation ceremonies, football games, that kind of thing, before or after school clubs based on religion, all of that would be okay. Do you have a problem with it or are you for it? Give us a call. Tell us what you think about this. Maybe you think, you know what? School shouldn't be into that. We'd love to hear from you, too. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Those are the phone numbers that you can give us a call on. You know, I think the one thing, as I've listened to stories about graduation over mm-hmm. the years, you know, when you hear, well, the valedictorian was going to get up and share their insights and their viewpoints, they were asked to do a speech, and then the administration comes along and says, no, we're going to edit that speech for you. And if you say anything remotely religious, we're crossing it out. That bothers me.
Okay. Would it bother you if somebody, the valedictorian, chose to bash Christianity? They're a Muslim. They feel that Christians are heathens.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of censorship based on bringing up religion are you comfortable with?
I think there is this thing that needs to be said in a situation like that, that it needs to be clear that the person speaking, that is their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily the opinion of anyone else around there. Now, I will say this. Somebody gets up and starts bashing Christianity in front of a large group like that, they're probably going to get booed by the crowd. But they're more than welcome to say it.
Mm-hmm.
It's their opinion.
Yeah.
And that's free speech. To me, I don't like the idea of a school saying, all right, you're just going to stick within these parameters, and if you go outside these parameters, then we're shutting your microphone off.
Yeah.
That's not free speech.
I agree. When the Ku Klux Klan came to Kalamazoo a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. boy, more than that, 10 years ago, I guess, I was in favor of letting them speak. mm-hmm. As abhorrent as they are to me. Free speech means you have to endure hearing people say things you don't like and don't agree
mm-hmm,
with.
Mm-hmm.
And
or plug your ears, as the case may be.
Yeah, or not be there to hear them. That's certainly mm-hmm. your right.
Mm-hmm.
But to determine in advance, no, we're not going to have the Ku Klux Klan speaking in our town.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't think that's a reasonable position, as much as I would disagree with the Ku Klux Klan worldview.
Sure, sure. Okay. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. As we continue ahead on this, we'll be talking a little more about this. Also, Obamacare. The numbers are in for Michigan, but does it look good for the president's signature plan? We'll talk a little bit more about that as we continue ahead. Music like this, taking you on a walk down Amnesia Lane.
I get that.
It's one of those things, wow, I haven't heard that for a while, and it really could be a long time before I could hear it again.
Yes.
Not that I have anything against Phil Collins. Great guy. Great drummer. He actually did some drumming work for Robert Plant, believe it or not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'm not a big classic rock
not
fan.
Not into classic rock.
We could have
a debate on that. We really could.
I was when it was new. but I have the feeling of been there, done that with most classic rock.
Okay.
If I ever hear Stairway to Heaven again,
okay. Add Stairway to Heaven as a song that we didn't know.
Yeah, for bumper music.
Bumper music. All of a sudden you hear. Dun, dun, dun.
We're going to get along just fine, Jeremy.
There we go.
You have a warped sense of humor,
of
and
course.
I like that.
I'm in radio.
Well, that's
tell?
True. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's kind of a requirement for this business. But now, we talked a little bit before about that religious freedom bill that they're just considering. And like I said, just introduced, according to the Senate website, yesterday. So they're just starting to talk about that and get that figured out. So that will definitely be in the news in the future. But Obamacare has been in the news a lot. That's an understatement.
Yes.
And a lot of the results that have come out, I mean, you remember, I think it was the first week they kept going, well, two people from Delaware signed up mm-hmm. and six people from Oregon signed up or whatever, you know, to basically show what the people weren't able to get through.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first 2 months, they figured out just how many Michiganders have signed up, have selected marketplace plans. Here's the number, 6,847 from this state that have signed up through Obamacare for health care.
Mm-hmm.
So the interesting thing about this is that there are some of those that are saying, well, you know what, we had some goals, there's a long way to get there to be able to reach goals on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to think that from a standpoint of the administration, that they're looking at things like this going, that doesn't look good. That doesn't look good. That we were supposed to have more people sign up than that. Now, the interesting thing that goes with this, a survey that came out, this is from the Princeton Survey Research Associates. They're saying a new poll of 1,013 people, 38% said that they would pay the fine or the mandate tax, or whatever it is that they're calling this thing. And I know there's a fancy name for it or whatever, but basically they'd rather pay the fine than pay for health insurance under Obamacare.
There's a lot of people who walk into casinos thinking they're going to win,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to walk out with more money than they walked into.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think there are people who are willing to gamble with bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
especially young people who think they're invincible, that they're young and healthy and they're never going to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so listen to a Dave Ramsey show and you can see how many millions of people make really foolish financial decisions on a daily basis. And these people who are choosing to pay the fine versus cover themselves for medical expense, one could argue Dave Ramsey would be pulling his hair out on what a foolish move that would be.
Well, you can argue it. I don't know what his view is on Obamacare. I haven't heard him express that.
But I'm talking about making the decision to go naked without any insurance, knowing that the majority of personal bankruptcies in this country are caused by medical expense. And so people deciding, I'll take a gamble. There's a 1 in 100 chance I'm going to have to file bankruptcy. And so I'm not going to get health insurance. That's why at the beginning of the Obamacare concept, as it came out of the Heritage Foundation, they wanted people to be forced to buy insurance. And so perhaps the conservative approach from the Heritage Foundation isn't resonating with people.
Okay. It sounds like we've got a lot we're going to talk about. Sadly, CBS News is coming up, but I've got some comments to bring back to you as we continue. This portion of the show brought to you by Bronson Healthcare, the first hospital in the region to offer a new life-saving heart surgery. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com/TAVR. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. Roger Taylor with me as well. And we're going through the show here talking about Obamacare.
Yeah.
And given that Bob Larson is going to call here in just a couple of minutes, I don't know that we want to dig into it too far. But after we get done with our discussion with Bob, we'll spend some time on this. And for listeners as well, because I want to get you in on this as well and get your angle on it, 382-4280, write that down and have it handy. Or toll-free, 877-382-4280. You can get through to us with your thoughts on that. Because I did want to take some difference with your thoughts there.
I did back time my comments to leave you without a moment to say a word.
See, I figured that's what you were doing there.
It's all strategy.
So, yeah, there it is. That's the thing. Looking at the time we have, I wish
I could
really pipe up and say, no, you're wrong, and here's why.
Yes.
Sadly, you have boxed me into a corner.
That's
yet again. So, bravo to you, however. However, I'm in control and I can turn your mic off.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's helpful.
My turn in the barrel will come.
No doubt. But anyway, that's one thing that we're noticing now. The weather is having some issues. It's had issues all day with traffic and that kind of thing. And we've not heard anything specific lately, but I can say this. And a lot of people suggested this. We get into issues like this with the snow, the ice, and that sort of thing. Headlights, taking it slow, that kind of thing. Very good idea as we deal with a lot of the snow and conditions like that.
How are your kids reacting to snow?
Well, by and large, I think they like it, particularly the four-year-old. Every time that he sees a snowflake, he's yelling and screaming and pointing out the window, "Look, snow! Snow!"
Cool.
Of course, we weren't around snow for 2 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has no frame of reference, really.
Yeah, those are an important 2 years to somebody his age.
Oh, yeah. And I think we came around, you know, because we are from the Midwest. So we came around for Christmas 1 year, and it was like, oh, yeah, snow, that's what that stuff is. Okay. But that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so you just don't remember that stuff over the course of time. So he's enjoying that. I don't know about the older one. I think he enjoys it. He just doesn't enjoy being cold. So
he'll get used to it.
You know, I'm still trying to get used to that myself.
As we were talking leading up to the show, suggested that you take the kids sledding at Millom Park. And I have to admit that it's been, oh, about 50 years since I went sledding there. But being a Millwood boy, listeners, do they still open up the golf course in Millom Park there along Lover's Lane? Do they open up that hill for sledding anymore? They did when I was a kid. And since I suggested you take your kids there, it seemed maybe we ought to know if it's open.
Well, that might be a good idea, so you're not hanging me out to dry again.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
like you did just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, there you go. Okay. Well, definitely hanging out, hopefully someplace dry, is Bob Larson, and he joins us right now to tell us whether this snow is going to stick with us. Bob, what do you think?
It's not going to stick with us too much longer. Many areas have already let up considerably in the past hour, but what is going to stick with us is the cold, and about to get even colder as we go through the next 24 hours.
Okay.
How cold, Bob?
Into the single digits in many areas overnight, and I'm speaking of the actual temperature, not the AccuWeather real feel or the wind chill.
So with wind chill and that sort of thing, it's always a factor this time of year. What are we really looking at? If you step outside, how quickly until your face freezes?
It won't take long. Seriously, you want to keep all exposed skin covered as much as possible, whether if you have to be outside for an extended period of time, the obvious being wearing a hat and gloves, but also you want to wear a scarf or a ski mask or something to cover your face, because that's something that can become, you know, a problem if you're outside for more than 5-10 minutes at a time, particularly if you're facing into the wind, which is coming out of the west northwest.
Okay. All right. So the word for today.
Plummet. Temperatures will plummet tonight to a low of about 9 and only recover to a high of 16 tomorrow. This is the extreme cold that we alluded to a few days back. In fact, since last week, this is the peak of this particular cold snap, because after tomorrow, temperatures will moderate, albeit slowly, but at least they'll moderate. Tomorrow night's low, 14, after tonight's low of 9. Friday's high, 28, after tomorrow's high at 16. So we at least climb out of the deep freeze, kind of go from the freezer to the refrigerator.
Now, Bob, I have to ask, when is it that we'll get back to the balmy conditions of, say, 30 degrees?
That is going to happen next week, it would appear. And that kind of ties into, if I take you, this is something that we'll be looking at on an almost daily basis now. We're 2 weeks out from Christmas and trying to determine whether we'll have a white Christmas. It looks as though there's going to be a period of moderation that might last 3 to 4 days, where we go not only into the 30s, but clearly above freezing, maybe even up to 40 at some point next week. I think the time period is from maybe about Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, the 17th and 18th, through about Friday the 20th, where we can be above freezing, maybe 40 at some point in there. And rain is a possibility late next week, next Friday. If we can make it past that in terms of keeping some snow on the ground, then we got it made. Because after Friday, starting with that weekend, the Saturday the 21st, looks like we head back to where we are now, very cold and maybe some lake effect snow. So that's what we're looking at, but I think we're above at least a 30 by Tuesday, maybe above freezing by Wednesday of next week.
So we're looking at maybe just sort of a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly.
What about lake effect tonight? Anywhere?
The lake effect is going to be shifting northward. The snow is enhanced today by the clipper that came through. The clipper is now east of us. It's leaving. And as winds diminish and start to shift a little bit more toward the west-southwest, that'll push lake effect snow to our north, up toward Grand Rapids. So it'll be shifting north and out of the area. So that'll be winding down the rest of this afternoon into this evening. Be a few snow flurries around tomorrow, but nothing substantial. There is the likelihood of snow, however, this weekend. Before we get warmer next week, a storm system comes through maybe late Friday night and Saturday with a few inches worth of snow, whether that's 1 to 3, 2 to 4, 3 to 5, somewhere in that neighborhood, more snow. Again, that's late Friday night and Saturday. Maybe some lake effect behind that for Sunday and Monday before that milder weather moves in that I talked about for Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay, still got to get through the weekend. Thanks, Bob, for getting us up to date on what's going on.
You're welcome.
All right, Bob Larson there giving us the details on just exactly what we're going to have to endure here in just the next little while. Yes.
Bob was brought to you by West Michigan Office Interiors. On Southwest Niche, check out their winter clearance sale today.
Okay. Got a few words for Roger. I'm going to share with him about Obamacare. That's coming straight ahead. Back at it before we get into the topic at hand. Roger, we're going to take a timeout for traffic.
I didn't even predict the accident in the Galesburg Triangle, but it's provided anyway. Eastbound 94 at 35th Street, that's exit 85. The right lane is blocked per MDOT. Eastbound I-94, and there is a considerable backup.
Okay.
But in the Galesburg Triangle, right at exit 85.
Okay. All right, good to note. And just a reminder, when you did hear Bob Larson earlier talk about how, you know, we might be through the worst of the snow and that kind of thing, that doesn't necessarily mean we're through the worst of the traffic.
Right.
It's going to take a little while to get some of that cleared off, and that might result in some accidents in places, maybe not
well,
in that area, but, you know.
And I think
what, and other areas, too.
I think what happens to people is that once it stops snowing, you see clear pavement and you gain speed.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the road conditions change and you didn't change your driving.
Exactly.
And so perhaps you were lulled into feeling quite comfortable that the roads are better.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden they're not.
And in this state, if you end up hitting a patch like that, you get into an accident, guess what? They'll cite you.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, somebody's going to get a ticket for this thing out there on I-94.
I'm certain of that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get back into the discussion here. So we've got a little time before top of the hour to talk about Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought up some interesting comments talking about that the Heritage Foundation had originally brought up a plan that involved forcing people to buy insurance.
Right.
I've seen the plan. I agree with you that they brought it up. I don't agree with their assessment on it, nor the idea that it is a conservative idea. I don't think the Heritage Foundation speaks for all conservatives. They do not speak for me.
But aren't they a I wasn't misrepresenting them.
They
are a conservative voice.
You they are a conservative voice, but I wouldn't call that idea a conservative idea.
Oh.
Forcing anybody to buy anything against their will, I think, is not a conservative idea.
Okay.
And that's been my big problem all along with Obamacare. It's like, you know what? If you want to make it so that pre-existing conditions are covered, hats off to you. Let's do it. You know, you want to make it so that people of a certain age are still able to stay on their parents' insurance if they're going to school full time. Let's do that. Absolutely. I'm on board with that. But the bottom line is forcing everybody in America to buy health insurance, whether they want to buy it or not. I just don't think that's a good idea. I think it that just totally abridges your freedom, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that perspective. But what is the alternative? Over half the bankruptcies that take place in this country are because of medical expense. And many people depend on free care, and it isn't free, in emergency rooms.
Sure, sure.
You and I, who are paying customers at the hospital, subsidize the moochers who come in from outside and get served by that hospital with no ability to pay whatsoever. What's the solution to that problem if it isn't asking everybody to have insurance? I mean, you're required to have automobile insurance in Michigan,
but you're not,
to drive a car.
But you're not required to drive a car.
True.
If you decide you don't want to drive a car, then you don't have to buy auto insurance.
So what do we do with the people who are dependent on going to the emergency room to see a doctor when they're ill and they have no ability to pay their own way?
We find ways to make them be able to afford to pay their own way. That involves actually getting the economy rolling the way that it should.
Well, but
and that involves, too, I mean, let's look at healthcare is a complex issue, and I think you and I can agree on that.
Yeah.
But if you look at healthcare, a lot of the costs involved involve a lot of the legal entanglements that go along with healthcare. How many of these malpractice suits go on? how many of these doctors get out of the business because it's just not even feasible to afford malpractice insurance.
Minor numbers. It's a very small percent of physicians who go to the hassle of getting through medical school, pay for the expense of getting through medical school, and then say, no, I'm not going to practice medicine now because my malpractice insurance is expensive.
We've heard a lot of stories about that, though.
But a lot of stories, but it's still a small percentage of physicians who walk away from practicing medicine once they've got a medical degree.
But what about some legal reform here, though? I mean, because you're talking about, yeah, I want people to be able to take a doctor to court if they did something wrong. But let's not take a doctor to court because he cut your hangnail from the left instead of the right. You know, let's talk about some common sense legal reform to make it a little bit cheaper to be able to practice medicine, to be able to afford it.
You have an opinion on this. Do you have how much does it cost the country in medical care, medical expense to cover those kinds of lawsuits that you're talking about?
I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Okay.
I mean, they're obviously something you could look up. And if I took the time, I probably could look those up right now. It would be very quiet while I did it.
Yeah.
Which we don't want.
Okay. I know. I was assuming.
But I think in terms of, you know, if you've got those legal expenses for doctors, they know they got to afford the insurance, they've got to afford this, that, and the other, then, you know, that's why you get these, you know, $5 for a Band-Aid and things like that. And I think certain things where if the government could get out of the way instead of landing itself in the middle of the medical practice and say this is the way it's got to be, then you're going to see a little bit more of an affordable situation for people to be able to walk in and deal with things. I think the other thing, too, is let's educate people that, you know what, when you got the sniffles, take a little something and stay home. Don't just show up at the doctor because you got the sniffles. You know, there's so many people that decide something's wrong, things are not quite right, I'm going to the doctor. But, and I think we need to have an education in how to take care of ourselves and get ourselves over the flu, for crying out loud.
But one of the biggest problems that medical care has is people not getting care early on in a disease when they're getting involved with the medical community would have been far less expensive.
But balance with that, the number of people that show up at the doctor whenever something happens, whether they stub their toe or they got a serious issue. How many people do that? I mean, how many times? I mean, you go to the doc in the box, as you call them. I mean, how many times do you have to wait 45 minutes on people that have a stubbed toe?
I don't know. I don't have figures on.
No, but that's the thing. You know, when you go to the doctor, you're not getting right in to take care of things. Even if your appointment's at 3 o'clock, it's probably going to be 3:45 before you step in the office and wait another 10 minutes.
So,
for the doctor to show up.
But using,
and that happens everywhere.
But using that logic, we could solve our problem by just not having medical care. Then
I'm
people wouldn't be abusing
that, no.
it and going to the doctor as a social engagement.
I'm saying be smart about it and know what requires a doctor's attention and what requires mom's attention, for lack of a better term.
Oh, no. On that, I would agree. We need to be educated consumers in everything we do, not just medical care.
And let's face it, how many people are educated in medical care anymore? I mean, they're going to say, oh, I got a cold, better go see the doctor. You know, instead of, oh, I got a cold, let me go get some ibuprofen and something, and, you know, I'll go lay down for 24, 48 hours, whatever it is. You know, people don't do that anymore.
True. But people have been encouraged to go to the doctors because of not trying to treat yourself.
See, but from my angle, I would much rather treat myself. So, all right. We've got just about a minute here. Let's go to the phones very quickly. John in Hastings. Quickly, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I'd like to make a statement, and I don't think you have to be very intelligent to figure out what you think of Obamacare. If you and I and Roger is up in an aircraft, and the engine quit. We know we're going to have to bail out. And there's three chutes there, and Roger and I had taken an Obama chute, and there's still one left. Would you take it, or would you just go down with it?
It depends. Does the chute work? That's the question you have.
Yeah,
gotta go. We've got the next hour coming up.
Continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's News from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.